This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا وإمامنا وحبيبنا أبي القاسم محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري وَحْلُ الْعُقْدَةَ مِنْ لِسَانِ يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. I praise Allah Almighty and I send prayers and blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his noble family, righteous companions, and all those that follow them with the right guidance until the day of judgment. Ameen. Glory be to you, O Allah, and knowledge have we accept that which you have taught us. Indeed, you are the all-knowing, the all-wise. My dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hopefully everyone is doing well. Some of you are, I don't think anyone, is anyone back from Hajj? None of them are back yet? Maybe just a few?
A few more days.
May Allah make it easy and accept from them. And grant us in the future, inshaAllah. We continue, dear brothers and sisters, with the tafsir of Surah Al-Baqarah. And today, we have reached the following ayah. بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن كانت لكم الدار الآخرة عند الله خالصة من دون الناس فتمنوا الموت إن كنتم صادقين ولن يتمنوه أبدا بما قدمت أيديهم والله عليم بالظالمين. So the verses continue instructing the Muslims, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on how to argue with the Jews and what he should say to them. In these verses, he says to him, قُلْ, say to them, إِن كَانَتْ لَكُمُ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ, if indeed for you is الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ, the abode of the hereafter, if it is for you with Allah, and it is reserved for you especially, meaning the abode of the hereafter, meaning the good abode of the hereafter, paradise. In other words, say to them, if indeed this is what you think, this is what you claim, that paradise is for you alone. So this is the abode of the hereafter, meaning success in the hereafter, being saved. Sometimes they use that term as well, being saved. That you are going to be saved, and that this is for you, especially for you, without others. خَالِصَةً, it's only for you, مِن دُونِ النَّاسِ, without others. If that is indeed the case, as you claim, فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ, then wish for death, if you indeed are truthful. And this is something that actually happened. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ told them. And they were supposed to respond. And this itself was success, because it showed the Muslims that they are not upon the right path. They do not have the confidence in this claim, this very wild and tall claim that they're making, that we are going to be saved and we are of the people of paradise. So if there were Muslims affected by some of their arguments, because we know some of the things they said, oh, we believe in Muhammad, but he's a prophet for you, for the Arabs, not for us. And they started making strange claims like this. The Quran is saying they know him, and that he is described in their book. And yet, when they asked, as we saw when we talked about the tafsir of previous verses, when they asked the Jews, they said, no, this is not the description. When they described the Prophet ﷺ to them, they said, no, this is not what is mentioned in our book. They lied. So if some Muslims got confused, this was an important milestone. Because now, he tells them, if you are indeed truthful, then wish for death. And they couldn't do it. Al-Imam Qatada and others of the Imams of Tafsir said that it is basically the obvious meaning, the apparent meaning, which is that they are making these tall claims, that they are the only ones who are going to be saved. As the Quran says, the Quran says that the Jews and the Christians say that no one will enter paradise except the one who is Jewish or Christian. The Jews are saying the Jews, the Christians are saying the Christians. لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا. So this is their claim. So if this is your claim, then wish for death. In the other ayah, they say, نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاءُهُ. We are the children of Allah and His beloved. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to punish us for what we are doing. Claims, baseless claims that they are making. So, if this is what you are claiming, then wish for death. Because you have a guarantee. And they said before, right? They said, لَن تَمَسَّنَ النَّارِ إِلَّا أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَةً. If we're going to be punished, it's just going to be for a few days. So they are making these claims. Then wish for death. What's stopping you? Go to paradise. That's what's awaiting you. Wish for death right now. It's a strong argument. Now, of course, they couldn't do that. They couldn't follow up and they couldn't wish for death. This is the opinion of some of the Mufassireen, as we just saw. One may ask, however, so here this is a challenge to them. One may ask, can we wish for death? Why do we ask that question? Because we are also sure that we are on the right path. We're not only sure, we're absolutely certain that this is the truth, that we are upon the truth. Pious or not, that's a different issue. But we are sure that we are on the truth. Can we wish for death? Shall we wish for death? We cannot, right? Why not? Because we understand how to deal with this issue. But the argument is the same. If they are making those claims, are we making claims that we are going to paradise? Yes? No? We are. I see someone going like this and someone going like this. Yes or no? Are we making claims that we are going to paradise just like the Jews are? No, we are not making those same claims. So we are going to paradise or we aren't? What is it? Hope? Hope? What if someone dies upon Islam? Shahadat Allah ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. They will go to paradise. Is there any doubt about that? No doubt. Right? But we, Ahlul Sunnah, we do not claim it for a specific person. Not ourselves and not anyone else. Not paradise and not hellfire either. We never look a person in the eye and say, you're going to paradise or you're going to hellfire. We don't do that. But the Quran gives us some fundamental rules. Yes. that whoever dies upon La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, they will enter paradise, either in the beginning or eventually, right? So it seems the Jews are making another type of claim here. And they're claiming it for themselves only, to the exclusion of everyone else. And almost as if they are sure, no matter what, they are going to paradise by virtue of being Jewish. By virtue of their Jewishness. Not so much about piety or lack of. So this is why Al-Imam Ibn Kathir, even though he agrees with Al-Imam Al-Tabari, he differs a little bit, because he feels Al-Imam Al-Tabari was taking the opinion that what it means is wish for death. He's that the Prophet ﷺ is to ask them to wish for death if they are indeed certain that they are going to have paradise to the exclusion of others with certainty. And he said, if this was the argument, then it's not the strongest of arguments, because we ourselves cannot do the same. And we will not wish for death. And just because someone is pious, this is the way he described it, just because someone is pious does not mean that they are allowed to wish for death. So here you have a person, very pious, mashallah, living according to the Quran and the Sunnah. Why doesn't he wish for death? Or she wish for death? He says, there's no connection. Piety does not mean you can or should wish for death. So he says, this is not an argument. This is not the argument. Rather, he takes the opinion of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, whose opinion about the ayah is that actually this is very similar to the issue of mubahala. Mubahala, the ayah of Ali Imran, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was instructed when he's arguing with the Christians, the story of the Christians of Najran. May Allah give us long life to get to those ayahs. So he instructs the Prophet ﷺ to do mubahala with them. What is mubahala? Mubahala is to call your family and your relatives and then to invoke Allah's curse upon the one who is lying. You're so sure about what you have and what you're claiming? Then bring your family and invoke Allah's curse upon the one who is lying. This is mubahala. This is what the Prophet ﷺ did with the Christians of Najran. So Ibn Abbas is saying, this is what this ayah is talking about. فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ, meaning not upon yourselves, but upon the party that is wrong, the party that is lying. Very similar to al-mubahala. And in the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ibn Abbas mentioned that Abu Jahl promised that if he saw Muhammad praying, this is how they would refer to him, that if he saw Muhammad praying in front of the Kaaba, that he is going to approach him and he's going to stomp on his neck. So the Prophet ﷺ said, if he had done so, the angels would have taken him immediately for everyone to see. And then he continues. Look at the generosity of the Prophet ﷺ. هذا كرم. He doesn't just answer the question, he gives you more. He said, had he done that, the angels would have taken him for everyone to see. And if the Jews had indeed wished for death, they would have all died. and they would have saw their place in hellfire. And then he continues, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says, if those people who came out did the mubahala, the Christians of Najran, with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would have went back and they wouldn't have found any of their family or their properties. They would have all gone. In other words, the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have come down upon them. Look at how he tied everything thematically, subhanallah. So if the Jews indeed, in this argument, wished for death, they would have died. In one of the opinions of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, had they wished for death, he made it even wider. He said, all the Jews on the face of the earth would have died. Others may say it is the ones who are wishing for death when making that argument. That this is the actual meaning of the ayah. It is about mubahala. If you are indeed truthful, in kuntum sadiqeen, that Jannah is for you alone to the exclusion of others, then invoke Allah's curse. Death upon the one who is lying. They could have done that with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did they do so? They did not. They shied away. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَنْ يَتَمَنَّوهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالظَّالِمِينَ. Not only did he say that they didn't do it, he said they'll never do it from now and forever. وَلَنْ يَتَمَنَّوهُ. Never, it will never happen. They will never wish for death. And they will never answer to your call for mubahala, as in this case. وَلَنْ يَتَمَنَّوهُ أَبَدًا. They will never do that. بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Because of what their own hands have put forth. Because of their deeds. Because of their sins and their violations. All the history that we've been talking about, one violation after another. Do you think this is something that would make someone comfortable enough to invoke Allah's blessing? They know what they've done. They're fully aware of their transgressions. وَلَنْ يَتَمَنَّوهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Because of what their hands have put forth, meaning the deeds that they have done. Now, notice also the ayah is very similar to the ayah of Surah Al-Jumu'ah. If there are huffaz in the audience, or people who know both instances, the ayah in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, very similar. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا إِنْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ. There, address the Jews, he says to him, address the Jews, if you claim again that you are awliya'ulillah, that you are awliya, you are the ones who are so close to Allah, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again to the exclusion of people, he says, فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ, then wish for death. Same exact, just after he mentions أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ اللَّهِ. The claim is a little bit different. But so is the reply. Because after he says, he doesn't say وَلَنْ يَتَمَنَّوهُ. What does he say? حُفَّاظ. وَلَا يَتَمَنَّوْنَهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. He didn't say وَلَنْ. He said وَلَا يَتَمَنَّوْنَهُ. In the first one, he said, وَلَنْ. They will never respond. They will never wish for death. In the next one, he says, وَلَا يَتَمَنَّوْنَهُ. And they do not. They do not wish for death. Which one is stronger?
as an expression. They will never wish for it, or they do not wish for it. Which is the stronger expression? They will never, right? They will never wish for it. Because here the claim, wallahu a'lam, here the claim also seems to be a wilder claim, a taller claim. Because they're saying what? That they will have paradise for them alone. They have guaranteed paradise for themselves. In the other ayah, they are claiming what? That they are awliya, that they are the ones who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first one is a taller claim, a wilder claim. And thus, the response came, the clarification came, even stronger. وَلَن يَتَمَنَّهُ أَبَدًا, as opposed to وَلَا يَتَمَنَّوْنَهُ أَبَدًا in Surah Al-Jumu'ah. Brothers and sisters, we need to benefit something from this ayah. And that is, in other words, we need to derive something. Notice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, He's telling them that you should be able to wish for death. Or, in the opinion of Ibn Abbas and many others, that you should be able to do mubahala over that which you are claiming. So now when we look at ourselves, when we look at what we are claiming, how sure are we of the truth of Islam? Would you be able to do mubahala? Would you be able to invoke Allah's curse that you are upon the truth when arguing with someone else? You should be. You should be. Because the argument against the Jews is, if you are indeed upon the truth, you should be able to do this mubahala. As you are not, so they have been exposed. So in other words, yes, you should be so certain about the truth that you have, the truth of Islam. Not the fact that you will go to paradise. That's not what we are claiming. We are not claiming that we are all going to paradise. We don't know if we are going to die upon Islam. Ya Rabb, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us firm on the deen. But are we certain about the truth of Islam? Do you have a doubt? No, we cannot have a doubt. We should be so certain that we could do this mubahala. And some of the ulama, they would do mubahala about other aspects of the deen about which they are absolutely sure, but about which there might be some back and forth, there might be some debate, especially with some of the people of innovation. Okay? But otherwise, of course, we need to have that certainty. وَلَن يَتَمَنَّوهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالظَّالِمِينَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all knowledgeable of the ظالمين, the wrongdoers, the ones who wrong themselves and the ones who wrong others. This is what they are. They have wronged themselves time and time again, and therefore, and because of those sins and violations, they will not be able, they don't have that certainty. It also tells us, brothers and sisters, for da'wah purposes, know that the ones you are talking to and arguing with and calling to Islam do not have that certainty. The other ayah tells us that they are فَهُمْ فِي أَمْرٍ مَرِيجٍ. Their affairs are like mixed up. They themselves are confused. They do not have certainty. They may talk to you and debate with you as if they are so certain, but wallahi, they are on such shaky ground. If you were to get to the level or extent of doing mubahala with them, no. They don't have that kind of certainty at all. Don't get fooled by the way they are debating. Deep inside, they have a million doubts. You just need to keep on arguing, debating, and you will immediately see that, and you will expose it. Okay? وَلَنْ يَتَمَنَّوهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِالظَّالِمِينَ. Then he says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَىٰ حَيَاهِ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. Subhanallah, amazing ayah. He says, and you will find them, and you will find them to be the most keen for life. The most keen for, in other words, most greedy and most keen that they will stay alive for life. عَلَى حَيَاةٍ وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَى حَيَاةٍ. What does this mean? This is another reason for why they will not wish for death. Another reason. So one of the reasons is بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. They will not wish for death. They will not do the mubahala. Another reason they will not wish for death or do mubahala is because they love life. Life is so important for them. It's all about the life of this world. Have you noticed this? Do you know this aspect of their character? It can be very interesting to discover and to try to explore. Is that really the case? Well, Allah is telling us it must be the case. How? How does it manifest itself in their life? وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ. And you will find them. And this applies to all time. وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ. You will find them the most keen for life. But wait a second, maybe we scratch our heads. Isn't it a good thing to be keen on life? To want to live? To have a good life? To enjoy oneself? وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَىٰ حَيَاةٍ. But the context is clear. It is a clear criticism. This is a very clear criticism. So clearly this is not praise. This is too much concentration on life. Too much focus on the dunya, meaning the akhirah plays no part. This is the problem. And Allah is criticizing them for this. It's almost as if there is no akhirah. Brothers and sisters, do the Jews believe in akhirah? Yes or no? They do. Yes? They believe in an akhirah. Okay. How strongly do they believe? Very interestingly, the Jews, yes, they believe in an afterlife, but in a different way. They do not believe, at least what they claim, they do not believe in paradise and hellfire the way we do. They believe in an afterlife, yes. Okay? There's a day of judgment, there's resurrection. But, and there's something like paradise, but what is it exactly? They're not absolutely sure. Why? Because the Tanakh doesn't mention it, the Hebrew Bible. And according to them and their scholars, today, not 1400 years ago, today, they will tell you there is very sparse mention of the afterlife in the Hebrew Bible. Very clear. And that's why it doesn't mean that much to them. And they will tell you very clearly, if you listen to some of their scholars, you will hear them say that Judaism is mostly about this life, the dunya. Now, of course, staggeringly, they will twist it to make it seem positive, and I'll tell you how. But they will say, Judaism is not really a religion of the afterlife. There's not much talk about paradise and hellfire, it's about this life. Exactly as Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَى حَيَاءٍ. They are the most keen from anyone else. Out of everyone, they are the most keen on this dunya. Their focus and concentration is this dunya. Their deen, it's about this dunya and nothing else. Afterlife is just kind of like an afterthought. Okay, yeah, eventually we'll all go to God. But what is that paradise? It's a communion with God. It's a kind of connection with the Almighty. Where are all the details of paradise and hellfire? Subhanallah, that we have in the Quran and the Sunnah. Silent. Of course. Because of the corruption that you corrupted. Why did you remove all of those details? It was mentioned. How do we know? قُلْ إِنْ كَانَتْ لَكُمُ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَالِصَةً مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ. This is what they say. The afterlife is for us alone, to the exclusion of others. So that means this is what they had before in their book. And there was mention of the afterlife and the importance of the afterlife. But it is obviously some of what has been deleted. So nowadays, they will tell you, you read the Hebrew Bible from A to Z, you will hardly find any mention of the afterlife. Much less paradise or hellfire. Much less the details of paradise and hellfire. How do they twist it? They tell you Judaism is a religion that focuses on this world. It seems like all of the other religions, they are obsessed with the afterlife. It's only about the afterlife. Judaism, we build this world. We work for justice in this world. Allahu Akbar, what justice. So it's all about this world. Oh, but the other religions, they're obsessed with the afterlife. Paradise and hellfire, no! That's later. Let's work now. Let's make this place a better place. Subhanak ya Rabb. Of course, kalimatu haqq urida biha batil. Right? Yes, let's build this place. Let's make the dunya a better place. Let's spread justice. Let's bring people to Allah. Let's be obedient to Allah here in the dunya. Of course! How else will you get to the afterlife? How else will you get the paradise and you will avoid hellfire? Yes, of course. But this is not what the ayah is saying. The ayah is saying, you only live for the dunya. That's all you care about. And we see this, subhanAllah. Look throughout history. You will find, despite the oppression, yes, the Jews were oppressed in so many periods in their history and persecuted. And yet, you will find that they were some of the richest people. وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَى حَيَاةٍ. Because their focus is only this dunya. Not because they're focusing on worship and being obedient in the dunya, as they might claim. No, Allah is saying their focus is on the dunya. All they care about is the dunya. Being successful in the dunya. Amassing wealth and property and things of that nature. Yes. So even during those periods of persecution, they were the ones who with money, they were the money lenders. Who was loaning money with interest? The Jews. This is a fact of history. Who financed, partly, the Crusades? The Jews themselves. Even though they were the subject of persecution by the Crusaders like the Muslims. Can you believe it? The Crusades were not only Christian animosity towards Muslims, towards Jews also. So the Jews and the Muslims were persecuted by the Christians, the Christian Crusaders. Who are some of the financiers of the Crusades? The Jews themselves. They're financing their own persecution. Allahu Akbar. وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَى حَيَاةٍ. Allah is telling us their focus is the dunya. وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَى حَيَاةٍ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. Meaning, they are the most keen for this dunya. And then Allah Azza wa Jal gave us, that is in general, and then He gave us a specific example. And even of those who associate partners with Allah, al-mushrikeen. Meaning, they are more keen about the dunya than even the mushrikeen. Why is this surprising and worthy of criticism? Because the mushrikeen do not believe in an afterlife. Do not believe in resurrection or paradise or hellfire. You are people of the book. You have a book sent to you from Allah. You had a prophet. And prophets, peace be upon them all. You know about al-akhirah. And then you live for the dunya and you forget al-akhirah. This is truly worthy of castigation. The mushrikeen, you can't blame them. They don't believe. They don't have an afterlife. They don't believe in all of that. So it's understandable if for them all it is life. Nothing else. Just this life. But for the Jews, how can you be like that when you have the belief in the afterlife? When you know what Allah has promised you in the afterlife? No. It's only about this dunya. وَلَتَجِدَنَّهُمْ أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَى حَيَاةٍ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. Some of the narrations mention that الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا here are the أَعَاجِم, meaning the some of the Majus, the Magians from Persia, and that some of them, their greeting, the way they would greet each other, was to say, live for 1,000 years. What kind of a greeting is that? Well, that's what the narrations mention. Other narrations mention it was the way or what they would say to someone who has just sneezed. So instead of gesundheit, they would say, live for 1,000 years. أَحْرَصَ النَّاسِ عَلَى حَيَاةٍ. It's just this dunya. And it's fleeting pleasures. Forget about al-akhirah. وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. So they are more keen on the dunya than even the mushrikeen. يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ. Even though we might say that one of these mushrikeen, people who do not believe in Allah in the afterlife, يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ يُعَمَّرُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ. One of them would wish that they would stay alive for 1,000 years. We know some of the earliest human beings, yes, this is how long they used to live. We know Nuh alayhi salam lived for 1,000 years or more. He was doing da'wah for 950 years, right? This is what they wish for. Live for 1,000 years. يَوَدُّ أَحَدُهُمْ لَوْ يُعَمَّرُ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِمُزَحْزِحِهِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ أَنْ يُعَمَّرُ وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ. So one of them would wish to live for 1,000 years. Allah tells them, do not think that living for 1,000 years will then somehow push you away, save you from the punishment. It will not save you. Live for 1,000,000 years. The punishment is coming eventually. So if they thought, because they know their violations and their lies and how they refused and rejected the Prophet ﷺ, if they knew that and they thought to themselves, live as long as you can here in the dunya, maybe that will save you. Allah is telling them, وَمَا هُوَ بِمُزَحْزِحِهِ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ أَنْ يُعَمَّرَ. Live as long as you want, it will not save you from the punishment. And Allah Azza wa Jal is seeing of what you do. Everything is clear to Him. So these ayahs all connected. And ultimately, brothers and sisters, just as we said in the beginning, wishing for death is not something that is allowed in Islam. We do not wish for death. We, even though we try to live our lives in the best way possible, and Islam is the religion of moderation that teaches us to be good in the dunya and live our lives in the dunya and enjoy that which is halal in the dunya, but with an eye to the akhirah. And that's why the Quran throughout keeps telling us about an akhirah. Because as human beings, our nature is to sink into the dunya and forget al-akhirah. So he keeps reminding us of al-akhirah. Having said that, knowing that we are on the truth without a shred of a doubt, do we wish for death? No. Because we don't know if this is the best part of our lives, the closest that we will be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. We do dua as in the authentic hadith, O Allah, give us life as long as that life is good for us. And decree death upon us if death is better for us. Right? This is what we say. Make the life only an increase in that which is good, and death something which distances bad and adversity from us. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the authentic hadith, he said, لا يتمنى أحدكم الموت. None of you should wish for death. إِمَّا مُحْسِنًا فَلَعَلَّهُ يَزْدَادُ وَإِمَّا مُسِيئًا فَلَعَلَّهُ يَسْتَعْتِبُ. There are two possibilities. Either you are doing well, you're a righteous person, you are doing well, so why should you wish for death? Continue doing good. Or, if the person is not doing well, if the person is sinning, if the person is far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why should you wish for death? You should repent. You should seek forgiveness, not wish for death. So, you're one of these two. So, no one should ever wish for death. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad.
جزاكم الله خيرا سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك